Welcome to Modern Sign Books on Blog Talk Radio. If you're interested in what makes your favorite authors and collectors tick, then you'll love hearing what they have to say in our live interviews. Learn how they got started writing, the books and authors that inspired them, what they have in their personal collections, and much more. Meet today's hottest authors as they discuss their life and writing in revealing conversations with our book specialist, Roger Nichols. And find us at modernsignbooks.blogspot.com. Now sit back and enjoy a few minutes with Modern Sign Books. Here's Roger.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Roger Nichols. We're very pleased to welcome Jeffrey Deaver today. He is the number one international best-selling author of 37 novels and three collections of short stories. His books are sold in 150 countries and translated into 25 languages. His first novel, featuring Lincoln Ryan, The Bone Collector, made into a major motion picture starring Denzel Washington and Angelina Jolie. He's received and been shortlisted for just about every award you can get out there in the mystery profession. That would be amazing enough, but Jeffrey Deaver is what you call a value-added author. He's written a James Bond novel. He's appeared as a corrupt reporter. What other kind are there? On his favorite soap opera, As the World Turns. He's been the lyricist for a country western album. He also happens to be a former attorney who's practiced and written on the subject of the heart of his latest book, The Steel Kiss, Products Liability Law. We will never look at an escalator or even our toaster with the same level of trust again. So good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Roger. Always good to talk to you. Good.
This is the 12th book, as I understand correctly, if I'm counting right, featuring Lincoln Ryan and Amelia Saxon. There have been kind of some changes made. One of the nice things about the series is that the relationship isn't exactly one of these, you know, fall in love, fall over, and everything is smoothly thereafter. There's some bumps and grinds and interesting bits going on there.
Sure. All of my books, and I write, for your listeners who aren't familiar with my work, I write thrillers. They're murder mystery kind of books. And so there's always a crime of some sort involved. But my theory is that a book has to be the most emotionally engaging it possibly can be. And so while we need the excitement of tracking down the bad guy, of finding out is he going to strike again, and trying to stop him or her from doing that. That's all important. You need that as the core of the book. But I want to up the ante. So I always want what I call, with some respect, the soap opera elements of the story to shine through. And for instance, in this book, The Steel Kiss, we see that Amelia Saxe, who played by Angelina Jolie in the movie a few years ago, a fellow from her past, a boyfriend, reemerges. Well, they had some unfinished business, and so he and she get together and find there are certain issues that unresolved that they're going to work on resolving. Meanwhile, Lincoln Rhyme has a protege, a young woman who I won't say much more about her because there's some big twists regarding her. They form a connection. Well, all of a sudden, Lincoln and Amelia, who were in a very close romantic as well as professional relationship, now find that relationship apparently challenged. And I know for a fact I'm going to get many more emails about that.
How dare you?
Than about the crime. Exactly. How dare I?
You know, when we talked to you back in 2013 when The Kill Room came out, you told us you like getting lost in stories, and maybe that's why you put so much substance in addition to the suspense and the action.
Well, that's a good point. I hadn't really thought about that since our conversation back then. I think that you should lose yourself in a book. When I started this business, started writing about 40 years ago, I would occasionally be asked to blurb a book, and you know how that process works. Publisher or a friend or an editor will send you a manuscript of a book and say, well, could you comment on this, Jeff? And maybe we'll use that quote on the back of the book if you like it. And back then, I would read 50, 100 pages of a book, and often I'd find myself slogging through it. And if it was a pretty decent book, I might give it a blurb or I might not. Nowadays, I'm like 30 pages. If it doesn't grab me right away on 30 pages, I put it aside.
Yeah.
I think we need, we have, let me back up a little bit. We authors are up against a lot of competition for our creative time. We are up against Minecraft, the game Minecraft. We're up against Call of Duty.
Yes.
We're up against some very wonderful TV shows and some very bad TV shows. And I won't mention some of the reality shows by name,
Lord,
but certainly they take readers or the audience's attention. And I think we have an obligation to make the best and most exciting and the most captivating book we possibly can. You know, we don't have, this is not a world where we can give anything 50 to 60 pages that doesn't pay back, that does not give us something. So I work really hard to make sure that the books grab you on the first page and then keep you going all the way to the end.
That had not occurred to me in this particular aspect, but as we have our MTV generation come up with people looking for fast cuts and quick responses, our tolerance for reading or any other activity is getting a lot shorter. Our attention span is what? Squirrel. Okay, yeah, there we go.
I call it the shiny penny syndrome. I don't know if you've heard that, but you're walking down the street and you see a little, you see a penny. Oh, penny. You know, that reminds me of something else. I need to go to the bank. Oh, the bank is right next to the bakery. Oh, the bakery. I bet they have donuts today.
Yeah.
And, you know, our thoughts are like, basically like machine guns. And, it's true. And I don't, there are people who argue and say it shouldn't be that way. And then there are folks who say, well, that's the way it is and we have to accommodate that. An example in my books, they're roughly the same length as they've always been. The Steel Kiss is probably about 400 pages long.
Yeah.
I've always written 400 page long books. Now, however, they will have 80 to 90 chapters in them,
mm-hmm.
whereas they used to have maybe 30 chapters. The amount of words is the same, but I break the book up into more chapters, and at the end of every chapter, there's what I call a springboard into the next chapter. So each chapter kind of ends in a question.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the way our general approach toward creative products works. We want it fast. We want to be moved quickly from one point to another. And, you know, I guess we're not going to get down to the point where we have one-word chapters, although I guess that's not inconceivable. But we certainly have to recognize that that's the way most of the audience is enjoying their entertainment now.
It intrigues me because I think about the history of oral tradition and the storyteller sitting in the marketplace and starting this tale and every so often pausing and suggestively shaking his donations bowl at a key element, cliffhanger element. And in a sense, you're doing that as well, but you're doing it to move the story along since we've already got our money by that time. I don't know if it's a great analogy, but it just occurred to me.
Well, I write every book thinking that a potential reader will walk into a bookstore. Nowadays, you can go online and mm-hmm. look at the first page or so. And I think you can, I think even on Amazon, you're allowed to maybe flip through the first five or six pages, something
yeah.
like that. And I think, well, what can I do that will grab the reader right at that point? Because, you know, it's not necessarily a long lead up to a very fast end of the first chapter. You really got to get people right away. You got to snag them as soon as you possibly can. And I'm thinking, can I get that reader right there? And once I do, they're going to enjoy the rest of the book because it's, you know, a series of exciting incidents after another one, a lot of emotional engagement. I think that's going to be, I think that will, you know, satisfy them. I think I will pay off. But you've got to grab them right up front. You know, you've got to make the sale.
Yeah. Do you have a copy of the Steel Kiss in front of you by any chance?
I do, as a matter of fact.
Could you read the first two paragraphs for us? Because I think that perfectly demonstrates this.
I'd be delighted to. As long as your listeners know. I'll just digress for a moment before
yes.
I read.
Yeah.
I was asked once to read the introduction to one of my books, a short story collection. And I do a lot of public speaking. and I'm very comfortable with it. I enjoy it. And I thought, oh, this will be great fun. What a lark. I go into the studio. I start to talk. The producer says, no, sorry, Jeff, that take two, take three. We were up to like take 37, and I hadn't even done the first paragraph yet. And I was sweating. It was like the worst experience of my life. I think we'll leave that to the experts. However, I will be happy to read these few lines here. The Steel Kiss, Chapter 1. Sometimes you catch a break. Amelia Sachs had been driving her arterial blood-red Ford Torino along a commercial stretch in Brooklyn's Henry Street, more or less minding pedestrians and traffic, when she spotted the suspect. What were the odds?
Now, that immediately immerses you in the story. Who's the suspect? What's going on? Love the blood-red Torino, by the way. But it gives you that... There's backstory here from the second you open the book, and that sucks you right
well,
in.
Well, Roger, thank you for mentioning that, because I write probably 4,000 words a day when I'm working on a book. That first, not just that, those two paragraphs, those were very short, but let's say the first five or six paragraphs probably took me 4 days to write. And rewrite, just to make sure I got the nail on the head. It's like the lead of a journalistic article.
That's right.
It has to be absolutely perfect. It has to give some information, but not too much information. Has to draw the reader in. And think about it. Well, here's a policewoman, because we mentioned suspect. She's been looking for him. What's she doing driving a pony car? Well, that's kind of weird.
Yeah.
Okay, but that's interesting. Yeah. And in a very crowded part, because even if of New York City, because even if your readers are not too familiar with Brooklyn, they know it's a congested kind of area. There are going to be a lot of people around, and that suddenly there's the suspect. So we know something's going to happen.
And that's the art. As well as the science of what you do in getting people involved from the get-go. And let me tell you, I jump into this book willingly and swam in it and bathed myself in it, as it were.
Thank you, Roger. I really appreciate that. I was just talking to, doing an interview a few days ago, and somebody said, well, Jeff, now 37, 38 books, dozens of short stories. It must be old hat when a new book comes out, right? I said, no. It's just like the first time I saw my book on a shelf. Of course, it was my first book, a very bad book, a long, long time ago. And there were only two of them on the shelf, and it was, you know, not too far from on the shelf. Stephen King had 25,000 titles over there, but I had two books. And nonetheless, it was just still thrilling. So I'm just absolutely delighted when a book comes out and anybody has a favorable response to it.
Well, it's delightful. A couple of quick questions, and then we have to let you go today. Unfortunately, we could talk for a long time, I could tell, about that.
Oh, I'd love to, Roger. Sure.
One of the things, at some point, you have your bad guy character who keeps a journal, by the way, which I think interesting. It writes, it's always easier to talk, let the thought fly like bats at dusk, going where they will, then write it down later. Is that a description of writing style?
Yes. I was kind of joking about the shiny penny thing, but it's not too much of a joke with regard to me. Most of my work writing fiction is just sweat labor. I sit down, I kind of slog through it, rewrite. But I have been very lucky. I've been born with a pretty good imagination. So the ideas come very, very quickly, but they have to be tamed. Of course, we've heard all the cliches about herding cats. As a journalist, I was told to avoid cliches like the plague. Well, I'm not going to talk about herding cats, but apropos of what you had just mentioned, imagine herding bats, how much more difficult that would be. So my writing process is to spend 8 months with those ideas, but forcing them into a structure. I do an outline, a very lengthy outline the Steel Kiss outline was probably 120 pages.
Wow.
And so it takes all those ideas and it kind of forces them into a very tight structure, because the books have to, they're very choreographed, a lot of different subplots going on. And so that's true. So I guess my psychotic killer and I have something in common.
At that point, unfortunately, we have to leave because you have other interviews scheduled for today. But I do want to thank you so much. Our guest this morning, Jeffrey Deaver, the latest is a Jim Dandy one. It's called The Steel Kiss. Highly worth your time and highly recommended. And a reminder, you can find autographed copies of Steel Kiss at vjbooks.com. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Roger, a pleasure as always.
You've been listening to Modern Sign Books on Blog Talk Radio with book specialist Roger Nichols. Be sure to check us out at modernsignbooks.blogspot.com.